That's what I want to talk about today, and I started in it last week, about what is our responsibility? What is our responsibility as Christians? Amen? What is our responsibility as Christians? You know, just like we were talking about being faithful with tithes and offerings, there's something about being faithful where you are planted and where you are placed. We've been talking about how people are placed in the body. God places in the body. Talking about the church body there is what we've been talking about. God places in the body as He sees fit. So if He's placed you there, then you have a purpose there. Right? If you believe that He has placed you here at Christian Growth Center, in this day and time, in this season, you have a purpose at Christian Growth Center. And we're trying to find out what our assignment is. We're trying to find out what that is. He sees Christian Growth Center, and then He considers your gift. And He says through the Holy Spirit, just like He told Rob and Tricia, He saw the gift in them. And the Holy Spirit said, go. Go to the Blue Ridge Mountains. Pioneer a church there, right? He spoke to me. So this beautiful woman pulled up into the parking lot of where I was working and said, come with me to church. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you better go. You better go. And I went. And, you know, the story from there, but go. When the Holy Spirit speaks, be obedient. Be obedient. And I believe that they are a testimony of obedience. They were obedient to go. They were called to Fort Worth, had their time there. They were called from Fort Worth to Virginia and pioneered Christian Growth Center. And I believe that their legacy will live on, beyond my years here even. And that's what we want to see. Is that legacy continue from generation to generation to generation. Amen?
Amen.
Because God, and you've been planted here, God needs what is inside of you. You know, I know we've been talking about this for quite a while, but the Holy Spirit will not let me let go of it. I don't know if there are people that still need to hear this. I believe there is, or He wouldn't have me continue in it. But what is our responsibility? What is your responsibility? What is your place? What is your gift? You know, we talked about spiritual gifts last week, and we prayed for people that, you know, their spiritual junk drawer would be cleaned out, and they would pull it out, those spiritual gifts out of their junk drawer that they've been storing away or forgotten about or just don't use regularly. Why? To advance the kingdom of God. To advance the kingdom of God. And I believe He said the same thing to you all that He said to me, that He said to Pastor Rob and Tricia. You know, He's called you into something. He has called you into something. And all we need to do is be obedient. You are important to the mission of this church. Not, you know, I understand we're not all called to come stand up here and speak. We're not all called to teach a class. You know, but we can all do something to advance the kingdom of God. You know, we're not all called to serve in helps. You know, be an usher or hostess or work in the sound booth or sing on the praise team or, you know, teach the little ones in the back or, you know, work on our digital media. I mean, we're not all, but you are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. And that is simply reconciling this lost and dying world to the life-giving force of Jesus Christ. You are all called to that. Amen?
Amen.
You may be called just to sit there and finance the kingdom. You know, no public ministry, no public, you know, helping in the church, but God has called you to finance the kingdom. That is a call. That is a worthy call. That is something that is needed as well. But you have to get with God. And first of all, believe that He's called you here for such a time as this. I hope each and every one of you believe that you are supposed to be here right now in this season. And I remind you, let's turn there, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to remind you what Ephesians says. You know, we are not about religion here. How many know that? We are about relationship. We are not into legalism. We are not about, you know, we are about relationship. We are about relationship with the Father. And we understand, if you've been coming here any time at all, we understand that because of what Jesus did on the cross, it says that the veil was torn in two, right? Before that time, only the priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was. But when Jesus died, when He shed His blood, that veil was rent in two, torn in two. And now we have complete and full access to God Himself. Amen? So what does that do for us? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Because, you know, religion says that you can only go through someone else and they will go to the Father for you. That's what religion says. That's how it all started. You know, the Israelites. You know, God was on the mountain and He was wanting to meet with them. And the Israelites said, no, 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 no. Moses, you go up and meet with God on our behalf. That's where the church, you know, down through the ages has come from. If you think about religion wanting someone else to mediate to God on their behalf. But because of what Jesus did, we don't have to have a mediator. He is our mediator. We can go directly through Jesus to God. Amen? And then what do we do with it? Here, Ephesians 4, this is what it's talking about. In verse 11 says, and you know this, and His gifts were varied. He Himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries. There's fivefold ministry here. Amplifies it out. Some pastors, shepherds of His flock, and teachers. And see, we just stop right there. Most of the church stops right there because that's how it was back then. They went through Moses, or Moses went before God for them. And so most of the church is stuck right there. Oh, we have the fivefold ministry. We have the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to minister to us the things of God. You know, if we want anybody to get saved, oh, just bring them to church. Just bring them to church, they can get saved in church. You need healing in your body, bring them in the church. We're having a healing service tonight. Right? You need to be delivered. Bring them into the church. They'll pray for you. They'll anoint you with oil there. But how many have read the next verse? Verse 12 says, His intention for providing those gifts, that fivefold ministry, His intention was for the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. That's His consecrated people. That they should do the work of ministering. Who? They. You. Us. Me. All of us together. Toward the building up of Christ's body, that is the church. You know, we long to see the church in all its power, like in the book of Acts. Right? Don't we long? I mean, you know, they even teach, have classes. I've seen ministries have classes that teach back to Acts. Back to Acts. We want to get back to the church like it was in the book of Acts. We all better get busy then. Because look, it ain't all about me. It ain't all about whoever's standing behind this pulpit. It is all about you all. How many healings, deliverances, miracles took place inside the meeting halls in the book of Acts? Can anybody tell me that number? I'll give you a hint. It looks like a big goose egg. Zero. And in fact, in all of Jesus' ministries and what was recorded, I can only find two miracles that Jesus performed in the meeting hall, in the sanctuary. All the others took place outside of the sanctuary, out in the highways and the byways, in people's homes. Two. And as best as I can recall and what I've researched, there are basically about 37 that were recorded in the Bible of Jesus' miracles and Him performing miracles. Two out of 37 took place inside the building. That's 5%. 5% inside of here. 95% out there. Are y'all seeing a picture? I'm here to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. That all took place out in the highways, but today we can say that's in a home, or at work, or in the marketplace, or at a sporting event. By who? By you, by us, all of us. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I can never do that." Well, I say you can. And if you really feel that way, I dare say you're not putting enough word in you. If you think you can't, you are not limited by yourself. You are in relationship with an unlimited God. And it's Him that does the work. Amen? And or maybe I can say I'm not doing my job of leading, encouraging, making disciples, casting the vision of the church. Because what is the vision? It's to sow, grow, and go. I'm to be sowing faith. Whoever's up here is just, this is a time of sowing faith, increasing, helping you increase your faith, growing you up in the things of God, right? Growing you up in the things of God so that you, Ephesians 4:12, can go into the highways and byways. And what am I saying? I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying that there are wide, effectual doors of opportunity that are coming to us as born-again believers. And we need to have a word in season, in due season, when that opportunity comes up. I'm not saying, you know, and I'm not saying go out on the street corner and, you know, just preach on the street corner. I'm not saying every day go to, you know, everywhere you go and just, you know, you're preaching the word. No, there are opportunities coming to you. There are open doors coming to you. And you need to be ready when that door opens. Amen. You know, Kelvin gave that testimony about his coworker. And I love what Tricia said in that interview. She said, all the years they put the Word of God, or maybe it was Pastor Rob, they put the Word of God inside of them when they didn't need it, so that when they did need it, it came out, it was there. And that's Kelvin. I mean, you know, putting the Word of God in them all, and then his coworker comes with this situation, and he has an answer. He has a word in due season. We all need to be like that. And opportunities are, I'm telling you, every day there's an opportunity. to share the gospel. So when I say preach the word, that's just wherever you are. You know, it might be with a personal friend who's sharing something with you. Or I do this all the time. All the time. I don't care where I am. I mean, I don't care where. If someone, I'm in line at Walmart and, you know, the person behind me or in front of me or whatever, complaining about a pain in their body or talking about a procedure they just had or saying they were going to see the doctor. I said, you know, I know the greatest physician of all time. Do you want his name and number? I do that. It's just an open door. It's that is an opportunity to open the door to speak into someone's life. And even if I don't say anything else, they blow me off or whatever, that seed has been planted. Just like what we're doing with Operation School Guard. We may never see any of these students that we're praying for. We are planting seed. We are plowing the ground of their heart, planting seed, and then other people are going to come and plant seed, and then other people are going to come and water, and that seed is going to grow. But we can take that same principle to any part of our life. Any part of our life. Amen? Sow, grow, and go. Doing the work of the ministry. You're to be doing the work of the ministry. I can't, listen, this ministry is never taught line by line. Right? Not as far as I know. I mean, have they ever taught, gone from chapter to chapter, verse to verse, and just taught? I know there are ministries that do that. I used to listen to them on the radio all the time, the old gentleman that would teach line by line. Who?
West.
Who?
Westville.
I can't hear you. Anyways, probably. Sorry. My wife will tell you sometimes you got to yell so I can hear you. But it's the strangest thing. If it's perfectly quiet, I can hear a pin drop. Anyways, who cares? What did I talk about that for? Listen, I can't teach you. I can't stand up here and teach you how to cast a demon out. Listen, I know that there are ministries, and I'm not saying anything about them, that teach, that's, you know, deliverance ministries, that teach that stuff. I can't teach you how to do that. I believe that I'm just walking a little bit dangerously here. I know that we can mimic a lot of things, but until you get it down in your heart and it's revelation, do you remember what happened to the seven sons of Sceva? They didn't have revelation of who Jesus was. They were mimicking what they had seen. And I know there are deliverance schools and they teach these things, and I'm telling you from me, I can't teach you how to cast a demon out until you get revelation. And I believe all it is spending time with the Father. I'm telling you, if you will fellowship with the Word of God, when that moment comes, you will be ready. You will be instant in season and out. It takes time. You know, we can't on Sunday for an hour or what, even an hour and a half. Heck, if you gave me 2 hours, I couldn't teach you everything that this word has in it. It takes an investment from you. It takes an investment from you. See, that's the big, one of the biggest lies and deceptions of the enemy when it comes to the church and religion is telling the people all they have to do is come in on Sunday and listen to somebody preach, teach. That's all they got to do. Biggest lie. Is it one of the biggest lies of the enemy, Gene? He has deceived the church and lulled them to sleep by saying, just come. He's not threatened by he's not threatened by gatherings in the church buildings. if they're just doing that. But you have to invest in yourself, the time in the Word, making prayer a priority. Amen? I'm so grateful, and I'm glad Sue's back with us, who gave her life to the Lord last Sunday. But you know, and I'm so blessed by that. I tell you, I got saved right here, just like Sue did. But you know what would have blessed me more? If one of you would have come up to me last Sunday and said, "Hey, Pastor Todd, I was talking to so-and-so and, you know, out at my job, and they gave their life to the Lord. And I want to introduce you to them." I'm so thankful, Sue, that you came and you gave your life to the Lord. But man, I want to see people out there spreading the good news, winning people to Christ, and then bringing them in and celebrating with them.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Listen, I am not getting on to you guys. I want to encourage you continually, continually, continually encourage you to have 20 seconds of courage. You know, I love, I tell you, this ain't the Todd Show, it's the God Show, and I love bringing other people in because, you know, when Kelvin spoke, and then when Caleb spoke, and then Wanda came, I mean, I saw a pattern there. I don't know if y'all picked up on it, but I believe Kelvin was sharing the importance of the hour we're in. I believe Caleb had enthusiasm for the hour that we're in. And then Wanda had an assignment for the hour that we're in. And I can't communicate all those things. It takes all of us together. All of our gifts together. Five 5% in here, 95% out there. And I know what holds some of us up. Another tactic of the enemy, one of his biggest. Four-letter word. Anybody know what it is?
Fear.
Fear. Fear. Fear. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is righteousness? Right standing with God and right way of living. You're blessed if you're persecuted for your testimony, for your sharing of the gospel. We have to overcome those fears. We have to overcome those fears. If 95% of the job is going to get done out there, you have to overcome your fear. 20 seconds of courage. Man, I keep going back to that. I keep going back to that. Let that resonate in your spirit, man. Let it resonate in you. 20 seconds of courage is all it takes. Why do we put so much emphasis on what people think about us? Why? Fear. Why? Gosh, I've seen people act a fool for so many different things, yet they will not stand up for the one thing that can change a life forever. Righteousness. The enemy hates us because of our righteousness. He hates us. He lost his place with God. He was the beautiful angel. And some say he led worship in heaven because of the description that was given of Lucifer, the devil, in Ezekiel. Some of y'all never heard this. I want to turn there and read it to you. Ezekiel chapter 28. Because I want to if you're a student of history, if you like war and a student of past wars, there was a Japanese author wrote something called The Art of War. It's basically know thine enemy. Know your enemy. Amen? So we need to understand the enemy. We need to understand that fear is his tactic. And he is wielding it effectively over the church body. And we need to break that. We need to break that. Amen. Ezekiel 28. Let me just read this to you. Starting in verse 11, I'll read down to 19. And let me read out of the Amplified here. This is the prophet Ezekiel speaking. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre." That is referring to Satan himself, I believe. "And say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You are the full measure and pattern of exactness, giving the finishing touch to all that constitutes completeness." Did y'all hear that? This is talking about the enemy of your soul. "Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The carnelian, the topaz, jasper, chrysolite, beryl, onyx, sapphire, carbuncle, and emerald. And your settings and your sockets and engravings were wrought in gold. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub that covers with overshadowing wings, and I set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, like the paved work of gleaming sapphire stone upon which the God of Israel walked on Mount Sinai. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity and guilt were found in you. Through the abundance of your commerce, you were filled with lawlessness and violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and the guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they might gaze at you. You have profaned your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and the enormity of your guilt by the unrighteousness of your trade. Therefore, I have brought you forth a fire from your midst. I have brought forth a fire from your midst. It has consumed you, and I have reduced you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who looked at you. All who know you among the people are astonished and appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and shall never return to being." He was the anointed cherub. He was beautiful. It says his pipes. He wore pipes. That's why some think he led worship in heaven. But then, pride. In another place he said, "I will exalt myself above God. I will be like God." This is your enemy, the enemy of your soul. These are his tactics to keep you so bottled up in fear that you won't share the good news for 20 seconds with a complete stranger who could leave from that engagement and you might not ever see him again. What's the harm? Why can't we do it? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the church universally. I'm telling you, we are on the verge. We are on the verge of one of the greatest harvests of souls into the kingdom of God. I believe it is tied to the children. I believe it is tied to, Ann shared a vision that someone had, and I forget the name of the person, I'm sorry, but it was like, and I'm just going to encapsulate it here. Judy Jacobs. Standing on the shore, there's a wave coming out from the ocean. And as it gets closer, this wave is tremendous. It's gigantic. It's like a tidal wave or tsunami. And a voice says, or something, where are the children? And he says, look up. And the person looks up and the children are riding the wave in. The wave being the power of God. I'm telling you, the children are key. They are key to the third awakening in this country. They are key to the last great harvest of souls into the kingdom before the return of Jesus. And I believe we are right in the middle of our assignment in praying for these kids. I believe that. I believe that. We're right in the middle of it. We're right in the middle of it. That's the season that we're in right now. So I encourage you all to take that up. It is an assignment. It is our responsibility. The enemy hates our righteousness. He thought he had us with Eve in the garden. But God had a plan. He thought he had us when they crucified the Christ. But that plan was ratified in his blood. And we, the church, are that plan. Did y'all hear me? We, you and I, the church, are that plan. The mystery that was hidden for ages. Hidden. And we have the power and the authority and the name. We sung about the name of Jesus. We have power and authority in that name. And it's not just me. It's not any fivefold ministry gift. Only that has the power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. No, you have that power if you're a born-again child of God. I shared from Ephesians, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. And you need to be operating in it if you truly, truly want to advance the kingdom of God. Now, if you're happy just coming here on Sunday and enjoying the music, enjoying the message, going to Cracker Barrel afterwards, you're missing out. You are missing out. I don't want you to miss out. Man, I want you to have the biggest mansion on a hill in heaven with fine jewels around on your crown. The Bible talks about this. That's what I want for all of us. I'm going to close this up. I think we're going to have to take it up next week as well, because I really want to get into some other stuff here. So, let me close with this. Last week we were talking about spiritual gifts. You know the nine gifts listed in Corinthians. And you all know, I hope, chapter 13. He tells us to covet these gifts, right? Covet the higher gifts. But then he says, I'll show you one that is greater than them all. What is it? Come on, church.
Love.
Love. Love. But he says this too, and man, I'm telling you what, I've had to meditate on this. I've had to ask for help from the Holy Spirit about this, where he says, how can you say that you love God whom you can't see and hate your brother who you can see? How can you say that you love God whom you cannot see, but yet hate your brother whom is right before your face? Come on. Church, We are called to love. We are called to love. And we know, we believe, I hope that love never fails. I'm telling you, when you reach out to someone in love, and it may not go as you think it should. But love never fails. It never fails. Let love reign in your heart. Love God. Love yourself. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. I think I'm going to wrap it up. Because I got a hot date to be on. It's our 22nd anniversary.
Praise the Lord.
And we're going to have a date. We're going to have a date day. So I'm excited about that. Get to spend special time with my special person. Father, Lord, I believe that you, I believe I can say this. I believe this is a critical time in the history of the world, in the history of this nation, in the history of this church that you've called us to. And you've called us to prayer for the kids. There have been words, prophetic words that have, and that's not the only one that we shared, that have come in that say the children are key in this last great harvest. You've called us to cry out, restore, restore, restore. I believe you are bringing restoration to the children that have been, they've been stolen. You're restoring them back into right relationship with you. And our prayers are helping in that. They are powerful, mighty, 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 mighty weapons. Prayer is a mighty weapon. Prayer is not just defensive. Prayer is offensive, going out before the battle. And I believe you've called us, Christian Growth Center, the church, we, the people, to spiritual warfare on this front. So, Lord, I pray that you continue, Holy Spirit, to minister to the hearts of the people here that say that they are members of Christian Growth Center or come on a regular basis. I pray, Lord, that you speak to their heart in regards to the children and that they take up this assignment in earnest. Because we believe that the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we will see and hear more testimonies like Gene shared, like testimonies that Dusty told me about, the person bringing a gun into a school was averted. All these things we're going to hear more and more about this, and it's going to continue to build and build momentum, and lives are going to be changed. Children's lives are going to be changed. And not only the children's lives, but the parents' lives and the teachers' lives and the administration's lives and people all around are going to hear about what is going on. What is this thing? What is going on with the children? What are we hearing about? What are we seeing happening in our schools? And they won't be able to deny it. And you'll get all the glory for it. So, Father, we thank you that we continue to be encouraged in what our responsibility is in this earth, and that we take it seriously. We're not just here soaking up oxygen. We're here for a purpose. We have a purpose. You have a plan for our life. You have an assignment for us, and you've gifted us with special, unique abilities to fulfill that plan, to fulfill our purpose. And Lord, I continue to pray for boldness for each and every person under the sound of my voice, that they have boldness to share Jesus at any opportunity that comes their way. And not only that boldness, but discernment to recognize the opportunity. And Lord, you put the words in them. They don't have to rehearse some thing and regurgitate it. You'll put the words in just at the right time. And they'll say the right thing. And it'll be just what that person needs to hear. So Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have called us to such a time as this. An important time, a critical time. And I thank you that you are supplying everything that we have need of to be successful in this assignment. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, glory.